the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
So, this is what I want to say about baptism, the first of these two things before we go here. I want to say that this is what I think about baptism. Baptism is the front door of the house of faith. In other words, baptism is what Jesus commands us to do when we give our lives to Jesus. It is not an achievement that you work up to. It's not a sign of your maturity and how you've learned lots of things. It is a response, a declaration of the fact that you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, and that you believe that he died for you, and that you want to commit your life to living for him. So when we come tonight here, we don't come here because Samuel and Yosra have passed a course. We come here because we see evidence in their lives of living faith. Isn't that exciting? It's something that the old Disney song says, I think I see something that wasn't there before. Your faith is there and it wasn't there, and it is there. New life, breathing in them. And in many people sat in this room, there are people who testify that they have gone through the front door of the house of faith because Jesus breathed new life into them. They realized that he died and he rose, and that we are caught up in his life, in his love, and that our life is all about serving him and loving him. This connection between baptism and the life we are to follow is explicit in the reading that we've just heard. It says, Jesus says, I have all authority because of the cross and the resurrection. Therefore, go and make disciples. That's why our series is called Disciple, not Convert. Go and make people who are living out a life which is following Jesus and putting Jesus at the center of their lives. Go and do it of all nations. We're doing it for an Iranian, a Kurdish Iranian this evening. And where are you from? Exeter? Which road do you live in? Quite close by, as we turn, it turns out. All nations are coming in here. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Holy the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. So when we have baptism, a bit like a wedding is to a marriage, a wedding is just the beginning, isn't it? Wedding and baptism are very similar. You stand at the front of a church in front of other people and you say, I do. Just as Evan ruined my point there. But actions speak louder than words. And Samuel and Yosra are going to say, I do, to Jesus. And the rest of their life is going to be a marriage of sorts lived out with Jesus. And just as when you say, I do in a wedding, 27 years later, the I do means as much as it did 27 years ago, honestly. I love you. But it's hard sometimes to live that out over 27 years. It's harder for Nick than it is for me. But we do it because we believe in our commitments and what we promised. When we do it for baptism, we don't just do it for life, we do it for eternity. And that's what we're going to go and do. So the last thing I wanted to say is that we're now going to come in a moment to a baptism. St. Francis of Assisi famously said, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. I think probably people would say of me, and probably some other people in the church, we use more words than is entirely necessary at times. So tonight we're going to let actions speak louder than words. And what you're about to see and to witness is the gospel. Someone is going to go underwater, is going to leave one way of life below, following Jesus through death into new life. And we are going to celebrate that together. And Nick's going to lead us through it.
Thank you. Why it matters. Steve reminded us earlier that a sacrament is more than a ritual. It's not just a remembrance. It is, in the words of the ancient church, as Steve reminded us, this outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And in communion, just like baptism, we are given this exact same sign with different elements. No longer water, but bread and wine. Simple, everyday elements. But those simple everyday elements become for us visible symbols of a divine mystery. Christ's real presence with us, his love poured out for us. But they're more than symbols. They're also a means of grace. And so as we share this meal together, we receive what we cannot earn. The grace of forgiveness. The grace of belonging, as Steve's already talked about. The grace of being renewed. And communion is Christ's gift to the church. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said this: "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." But this remembrance isn't a passive nostalgia. This is active communion. In the breaking of bread, as we share the cup and we drink the wine, Christ is truly present. Steve reminded us, of course, there's been an awful lot of ink spilt over what is meant by the presence of Christ in communion. But he is present. I believe he is present mysteriously, sacramentally, and spiritually. We are nourished by his life and strengthened for our life in the world as we step away from the table and go on with our work and with our jobs. And as we prepare to receive communion, one of the stories that I often reflect on is the two disciples who traveled on the road on the way to Emmaus. We read in that story that they knew the risen Lord in the breaking of bread. That is how they recognized him. And so too, I would suggest we come expecting to encounter him, risen, present, offering himself to us in love. And we come to this table with reverence, we come with humility, but we also come with joy. We come not because we must, but because we may. We come not because we're worthy to come, but because Christ invites us. The Apostle Paul writes to his friends in Corinth, he says this: "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so as we share bread and wine once more, we remember not only Christ's sacrifice for us, but we also remember the love that compelled it. And we meet him in this meal, not as a distant memory, but as the living Lord who feeds, forgives, and forms. And as we've already reminded ourselves, of course, in this simple yet profound sacrament of bread and wine, we join with believers across the world, across time, across place. And we all come, not as strangers, but as one body, united by grace.